Gee, I was faulty with Gene Clark coming, Luke Claskin, a shock to the show. Let me, Tom Cormack, with you as always on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And as always, hope you can stay with us. Coming up on tonight's programme, we're joined by former Tyrone All-Ireland winning goalkeeper Pascal McConnell, who was between the post when the Red Hand County last tasted All-Ireland Under-21 success. And of course, Tyrone preparing for an All-Ireland final Under-21 showdown with Tipperary on Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening in Parnell Park in Dublin. We'll also hear from Stephen McCall, the Ardra Club chairman, who is club staging the Donegal finals of the Comórtas Pelin na Gaeltachta this weekend, a festival of football down in Ardra on Sunday and again on Monday. But first of all, tonight we're joined by the Donegal man who is coach to the Tipperary Under-21 team that stand in the way of Tyrone and another All-Ireland Under-21 success in that All-Ireland Under-21 final in Parnell Park on Saturday evening. And of course, that is former St. Julian's player and indeed former Donegal player and team coach as well, Michael McGeehan. Michael, first of all, welcome to the GAA programme. Delighted to have you. And I suppose the first question we have to ask is how did a Donegal man come to end up coaching a Tipperary football team?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's a good question with a simple answer, Tom. I'm based in Donegal, obviously, but I work out of Limerick. I'm based down on the campus of UL, where I'm the director of Coaching Ireland. So a lot of GAA coaches out there probably know of us. We certify GAA coaches as well as coaches in about 62 other sports. So when I'm down there during the week, I got involved first in 2013 with Limerick, who were in Division 4 at the time, and we were lucky enough to get promoted in 2013, having won Division 4, and then there was a change in management. So last season, 2014, Peter Creedon approached me, who's the senior manager, and asked me would I be interested in getting involved with Tipperary. So I said that I would. Where we train in Thurles is only about 50-55 minutes away from Limerick, so during the week it's not that great a journey to make. I got involved.
And when you're away from home, it's something to do on a weeknight.
Absolutely, something to do on a weeknight. And a couple of seasons ago, I'd been asked then to take them for a few sessions when there was a changeover in management. So they obviously had remembered that and came back and asked me. So I got involved last year, and we won Division 4 last year and got promoted to Division 3. Didn't get promoted this year. We finished third, but you know, we retained our position, which is probably good from a consolidation point of view. And I suppose the difference from last year and this year also is that the senior management decided that we would look after the under-21s this year as well. Last year, they were separate. David Power, who's since gone on to manage Wexford, he was the manager of the under-21s last year.
Yeah, and he was the manager, wasn't he, of that minor team that won the All-Ireland?
That's right, David was the manager of that team.
In 2012. So obviously the next question is, have you got many of that 2012 minor team with this Tipperary team?
Yeah, we've got five that are starting on the team. I suppose there's another five who are abroad with either work or study. Who aren't around, who you know potentially could be on it, but in essence, you know, it's almost a new team. Obviously, the five that are playing were key players on that minor team. You have Colin O'Riordan, who is the captain of this team. You have Stephen O'Brien playing in midfield. Ian Fahey, our goalkeeper, Evan Comerford, and then Bill Maher, who's also on the hurling panel, the senior hurling panel. He's playing half back for us, so. There's a core of them, I suppose, the backbone of the team.
Tell me, how many clubs do you draw your players from?
We draw them from about 12.
And but there's been great strides made at under 21, at underage level in Tipperary. As we say, they won the All Ireland Minor 3 years ago. They were in a couple of semi-finals before that, and this particular team or this at under 21 really. This was their third year in Munster finals, the first to win one.
That's right. It's the second time we won one.
Yeah.
The first time we won a Munster was in 2010.
Yeah.
So again, that shows you some of the work that's been done at underage, and a lot of that 2010 team backbone the current senior team. And I think if you remember back in 2010, Donegal played Tipperary in the All-Ireland semi-final up in Dublin in that particular game. So with the current batch, it's the first time we've gotten to an All-Ireland under 21 final. We beat in the Munster final Cork, who were going for five in a row. And obviously three times in that five in a row they played Tipperary, and indeed last year played Tipperary in the final as well, and beat Tipperary comprehensively.
And you beat Dublin in the semi-final, who were the reigning champions, and again the hot tips for another title.
Yeah, I suppose Dublin were going for two in a row, I think it was, and on the other side then you had Roscommon, and both teams were being hotly tipped, so the two teams that were deemed the underdogs have come through. And again we played down in Tullamore. I think at halftime we were 4 points down, albeit we were playing into a gale force wind, and we probably made better use of the wind in the second half than Dublin did in the first.
Yeah, and tell me, you've coached now in quite a few counties. You've been in I think Mayo. You were in it for a while, and you coached your own county here for a while as well, obviously, and a number of others like Laois. How does it compare with in Tipperary, who are seen as a weaker county in terms of football?
Yeah, well, I suppose I've alluded to the fact that it's a dual county.
Yeah,
that's the first thing, and the first love and priority in Tipperary is hurling. It was more or less the same in Limerick when I was there. I did a little bit in Clare as well back in 92, and again predominantly a hurling county. So there is a different dynamic when it comes to ensuring that you have players for training, because come this time of the year, a lot of our footballers on the county team are dual players with their club. So while we're in Donegal maybe used to just worrying about players getting injured in the senior football championship, we have to worry in Tipperary about them getting injured in the hurling championship as well, and trying to juggle those particular fixtures. Obviously our preference would be that they make a decision and play in one or none of those games, but we don't have that power over the players down in Tipperary, so that is one of the challenges. But in fairness, the Tipperary County Board have been very supportive. Over the last number of years, they've supported the development squads. They've identified coaches who, are top class and will go in and develop players from a very early age. And that's probably one of the reasons why, they have that success at underage level. It's starting to come through now. It's certainly a slow burner. It's not something that happens overnight and can only be done through hard work. And that's on the back of those coaches.
Yeah. And I suppose the challenge facing Tipperary on Saturday evening is Tyrone. And, a lot of people say that Southern teams in particular have a difficulty when they come up against Ulster teams and the Ulster style play. How do you feel this Tipperary team will cope with that?
Yeah, obviously the Ulster style of play and all that entails is something that maybe Southern teams, including Tipperary, may not have encountered in the past. I suppose we do try and replicate that in training as much as possible. We're going into the game, obviously, as region underdogs, which we have been all along. I'm not sure whether that suits us or not, or whether that's deserved or not, but that's the way it is. But we have had the opportunity to see the Ulster final. I was actually at it. It was the day before our Munster final. And, in a close game, Tyrone looked to be comfortable on the ball. They're a very fit team. They, attack at pace and defend in numbers. So they will be difficult to break down.
And what's the mood in the Premier County at the moment? Is there much support for this team?
Yeah, well, certainly I do detect over the last week, we were training last night now, for example, that there is a more of an interest in what's happening. There's an awareness that we're in an All-Ireland final, and obviously there's a bigger media presence maybe as well due to that fact. Last night we also, the Friends of Tipperary Football launched a new lottery to try and raise funds for football in the county. So again, there was a bit of a buzz and razzmatazz around that as well. So yeah, what we'd like to try and do is try and raise the profile of football as much as possible within Tipperary and try and attract more supporters from the general public.
And I suppose nothing would lead that campaign better than if you were to win an All-Ireland.
Well, certainly. 2 weekends ago when we were playing Dublin, it was a four-horse race. Now we're down to a two-horse race. In a final, anything can happen, whether that's positive or negative.
And do you expect a big Tip crowd in Parnell Park?
We're hoping for a big Tip, but I wouldn't like to make a prediction on that. It might be easier to predict the game than predict how many Tip supporters that we might have coming. I've read in the paper that, as you would expect, and as we well know, being from Donegal, there will be a big support from Tyrone. I've heard the figure of 3,000 fans coming down, which will add to the atmosphere of Parnell Park, which is a nice compact ground.
Anyway, Michael, thanks a million for joining us, and the best of luck in your coaching and the best of luck with Tipperary.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Michael McGeehan there, the coach of the Tipperary under 21 footballers who are playing Tyrone in that All-Ireland under 21 final in Parnell Park on Saturday evening. Throw in for that one is 6 o'clock. Tato Egeish the Clash and Clark coming Luke Laskale and the Shock in the Show. Lemme Tom Comack with you as always until 9 o'clock. Remember, still to come, we've got to hear from Stephen McCahill, the chairman of the Ard Rad Club, of course, who are hosting the county finals of the Comórtas Pelin the Gaeltacht this weekend. And of course, that's a dress rehearsal for the All-Ireland finals which are on in our draw on the June Bank holiday weekend. That's coming up in a moment, but first I'm delighted to see I'm joined by three-time All-Ireland winning goalkeeper Pascal McConnell. Of course, the St. Eugene's clubman from Newton Stewart was between the post when Tyrone won those All-Irelands in 2003, 2005 and 2008. But before that, Pascal also won two All-Ireland under-21 titles. The last time Tyrone actually won at under 21 was back in 2001, and Pascal was also between the posts in 2000 when they put titles back to back as well. First of all, Pascal, very good night to you and welcome to the programme.
Good evening, Tom.
And well, first of all, just to remind us again about those years, that was what, 2000 and 2001?
Yeah, many months ago, I suppose, looking back now. It's been quite a while, but years have flown by. But there were great times within the county, and certainly give the county a little bit of optimism, heading towards senior success and that there, So, two very different years in the 2000. The whole thing had run off pretty quickly, like the current campaign this year. And 2001, of course, with the interruption of the foot and mouth crisis, and left the final then being delayed till a week after the All-Ireland senior football final. So it was a bit of a roller coaster year, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and just remind us again who was on that team along with you, because a lot of players from that team I did become household names afterwards.
There was certainly a few, all right. It was the likes of Conor Gormley and. Also Kevin Hughes, the late Cormac McAnallan, Owen Mulligan, Stephen O'Neill, Brian McGuigan. So quite a select there, and quite a talented bunch of lads now all round.
Yeah, and as you said, contrasting campaigns. Obviously, the 2001 one was a very difficult one with the foot and mouth.
It certainly was. It hung in the balance at one stage, Tom, and remember clearly I was actually coming home from training and stopped by Berra and attended Mass in Berra that night, and as we were just exiting the chapel, word came through that the foot and mouth crisis had broken our bow and left the whole thing in limbo, unfortunately. But we fought hard, Mickey fought hard, and with the backing of the county board as well, went to Croke Park, stated their case, and we got that little bit of leeway, and the thing was put on hold for a little while, and it worked out well for us in the end. So we're very grateful at the time to the people putting the hard work behind the scenes back in that year.
And remind us, Mickey Hart was the manager, was he?
Mickey was the manager, surely, yeah, both years.
Yeah. And just interestingly there, you're going to Mass in Barrow. Was that a regular thing for part of training, or?
It's something we would have done maybe just it would have been standard practice, you know, days of matches or the morning of a match, and we just happened to be heading home from training, so we thought we'd just attend Mass in Berra. We were just going by at the right time, so we thought maybe a little bit of extra luck, you know, on the eve of the game and that there. But unfortunately, other things had unfolded, and
so the secret is out at last. We finally know the great secret. Prayer brought those All Irelands.
Certainly did. I suppose that's Father Jared had his input that way too, your spiritual leader, so to speak. So certainly helped us, you know, give us that little bit of guidance and hope along the way.
And of course, really, when we look back on it now, so many of those players, like yourself, ended up with three senior All-Irelands, and it was the start of a very great journey for Tyrone football.
It certainly was. It certainly gave Tyrone great hope. On the back of the 91-92 All-Ireland winning teams, Tyrone did happen to get a run of luck in the senior ranks. Unfortunately, coming up short against Dublin and Meath in two consecutive years in 95 and 96 at senior ranks. But it gave that little bit of, that little glimmer of hope, that little bit of impetus to go on and maybe push and get secure a first All-Ireland. But we knew with a great bunch of players there, guided, you know, very ably by Mickey himself as well. So, we were all singing from the same hymn sheet, and we were definitely, it was a very, very ambitious bunch at the time now.
Yeah, and just before we, just going back to those under 21 finals for a moment, any particular memories? Obviously, there were so many great memories. It's very hard, to pick out any, given the success that you and so many of that team enjoyed. But was there any outstanding memory from that 2000-2001 Under-21 campaign?
The 2000 final itself, we had actually played Limerick in Mullingar, Tom, and was a real sunny day. The sun was high in the sky. Playing Limerick, a team that I suppose wouldn't be renowned for its football exploits as much as its hurling exploits, but it was. I remember quite a lot the build up to the final. You know, there's a lot of guarding against complacency. Of course, it was mentioned a lot in the media that of course it's Limerick Tyrone should be fit to take this final very easily, and if we were beat, we were no hopers, and if we won, we weren't going to get a great deal of credit because it so happened to be Limerick. But I remember we were up by a point at half time, and from the throw in the second half, the ball had been played in long to Brian Begley on the edge of the square. Brian had turned and I found myself one-on-one with him, and Brian crashed a shot that I kind of remember jumping out of the road from it, because it happened to smack off the crossbar, and I think the crossbar is still shaking in Mullingar yet. But we rode a wee bit of luck, but that moment we realised we were in a game here, and we had to dig deep, and fortunately we got goals at the right time to see Limerick off and end up.
Mm. And who was it you beaten in the previous year? Was it Kerry, was it?
We had beaten 2000, we'd beaten Limerick, and then the following year we had beaten Mayo in the final.
Mayo,
in Sligo.
Yeah. And a little birdie in Tyrone tells me, in actual fact, that you played my under-21 football for Tyrone before you played minor football. How did that come about, or what happened?
Yeah, a little bit of a strange one indeed. I suppose the year it happened to attend minor trials, and I like to think I'd put my case forward well as best I could. But Sean O'Kane happened to be the manager of the under-21 squad. Sean would be a native of Staban, and Sean had rung me up one day. I think a great credit must go to Liam Morris also, who put in a great word for me at the time, and happened to maybe see me at a few club games and seen how I may have been progressing along. So,
a man of great influence, obviously.
Oh, no doubt at all. I've a lot to thank Liam for that, no doubt. And so I happened to attend a trial game against Fermanagh up in Derry Tresk, and everything seemed to go okay, and thankfully, it sort of kicked on from there. But it happened to be a long summer watching the minors progress. The 97 minors had progressed on to and were unlucky in the All-Ireland final that year. But it was a nice experience. Now the taste county football at such a young age.
Yeah, and what of this year's team? First of all, is it a surprise to you that, you know, I think you were only in a final once since 2006, if my memory serves me right, that there hasn't been more under-21 success?
It has been surprising, Tom. You know, on the back of the minor success we enjoyed in the county now over the last few years, it has been disappointing that some of the teams haven't been fit to maybe make the next step through the under 21 level. The we've suffered greatly in the first round, and also won several Ulster finals there to Cavan over the last few years. But this team now seems to be getting along really well. Great men in charge in the form of Peter Canavan, Brian Duher and Fergal Logan, and they certainly seem to be a talented bunch, but there's a lot of their mantra seems to reflect their own mantra from 2000 and 2001, and that's hard work, you know, to build up a real hard work ethos, and that's what they seem to have. And watching their games this year, they seem to be working really well as a team, and I think that's something that Mickey brought home to ourselves back them years ago was, you know, it's the team effort here is the most important thing, and if everybody works hard, we knew we had talented players, but we weren't much good if we weren't going to put in the hard work, and it seems to be reflective in this team at the moment, which is good to see.
And you don't need any reminding. Many similarities, I suppose, with that was it the 2000 final against Limerick. You know, they're playing Tipperary, better probably known as a hurling county than a football county. What's your advice to them?
Well, I think it's you know, it's another game, but you know what they're going to face is a typical Munster team. They're going to be big, they're going to be strong, and they're going to be mobile for that size. You know, it's something that struck us when we played Limerick was how mobile they were for the sheer size of them, and you know, when they know when to put in the hits, and they, you know, when they get on top of you, and buoyed by the support Limerick had that day too, you know, Munster teams are very, very well supported, and there's going to be a tough prospect for Tyrone, and especially whenever this Tipperary team has gone through the likes of Cork and Dublin, it's time to you know, the Tyrone boys stand up and take note, and know that there's going to be a game in their hands, but if they keep playing the way they're playing, they'll definitely win with a good shout.
Look, unfortunately the clock is going to beat us here, Pascal. Good to talk to you, and maybe we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Tom. No worries.
Okay, Pascal McConnell there joining us on the phone, and obviously reflecting on his own days playing with Tyrone in both senior and indeed that double success at under 21 level as well. Tato Gaish, the Clash and Clark, come on, Lou Claskill, a shock to the show. And well, I'm delighted to see I'm now joined by the chairman of the Ardra Club, Stephen McCahill. Stephen, good night to you.
Good evening, Tom. How are you?
And thank you for hanging on there. I know we've been holding you on the phone for some time. A big weekend in Ardra this weekend on many fronts, I suppose, and for many reasons.
Yeah, indeed, Tom. A huge weekend. A lot of work has gone into this, as you know, or anybody that knows has been involved in the Gaeltacht, even in a county competition, but particularly in an All-Ireland competition. Huge amount of work. We set up a committee almost a year ago now under excellent stewardship of Frank McGee, long-serving club member who chairs a very excellent committee under both the treasurer Larry Galler and of course Mary Kelly, our secretary at all levels, probably the key person in the Ardra Club, as you know, Tom, who does practically everything, and they worked very hard in getting where we are today. I suppose we applied for the All-Ireland Gaeltacht.
Yeah, because this weekend is a dress rehearsal, as I was saying earlier, for the All-Ireland weekend, which is coming up in June.
It is indeed, yeah. We played way back when John Michael O'Donnell was chairman about 2009, and it takes quite a while before you get it, but there's a lot of work and a lot of preparation goes into it. This weekend, I mean, is a great weekend, and as you said, it's a curtain raiser for us, you know, and we're starting off on Sunday at midday with the ladies' game final between Glenfinn and Ballinacarloch, and then on the afternoon at 2 o'clock, then there's the reserve game between Niamh and Ardra. At 3:30, we have the senior game Ardra and Niamh Connell, and then at 5 o'clock we have another reserve between Niamh Connell and Downings, and then at 6:30 we have Glen Swilly and Gidore.
Yeah, so a couple of mouth-watering senior games in there.
Good challenges, and of course good local challenge there for ourselves with always a good game anytime Glenties and Ardra play and brings the crowds, and that's great, and it'll be a good test for our overall development here. We've made a huge development here, Tom.
I was coming to that as well. Just before we come to that, actually, we'll confine ourselves to the activities for a moment. You have the finals on Monday, but you have a social scene, a social activity on the Sunday night as well.
We have indeed on the Sunday night. You see, we're opening our new ballroom there, and we'll have the question. We have
Throwing the guest.
That's on at 8 o'clock, and then at 9 we have a Cannondale competition. And we have a traditional Irish group playing there, and we're hoping to, as I said, open our new ballroom and hoping to get our bar up and running and get sort of prepared for the event in a month's time. So that should be a good evening for anybody, and anybody's in Ardraw. There's a big festival in Ardraw as well that weekend, the Cup of Tea Festival, so it's appropriate. It's a traditional Irish weekend, so it's appropriate that we can gel the two together, so people have choices all over the place in our draw this weekend. Yeah. On Monday then, Tom, at 12 o'clock, we have the intermediate ladies game between our draw and Neve Connell. And then you have the senior final, the reserve final at 1:30, the senior one at 3 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock, we have an under-15 final. And then at 5 o'clock, then we have the reserve ladies game. So that's our weekend. There's a lot of stuff there, Tom, and it's a great week. I hope to God the weather improves and we have a better weekend than we have now.
Well, you heard Pascal McConnell praying a while ago, so
yeah, we'll be praying too, because we have two fields now, Clumba Diver and Martin Sweeney and his team are panicking about the fields, because there's terrible pressure in fields these days.
And of course, as you said yourself, it's a big weekend on the fact that we're going to see your new dressing room facilities, club room facilities for the first time.
Yeah, Tom was supposed to start way back about 2004 when the brainchild, and nobody could get it from him. The man behind that whole project is Gerald Gavigan, absolutely excellent club man, a brother of Martin Gavigan, Luke Gavigan, fantastic man who works tirelessly for our club behind the scenes, will not like to be praised, but is the man that sort of pushed us to buy that land there and develop it. And I was just doing a wee quick analysis of it, Tom, before you called me there, and like over that 10 or 11 years we spent about 1.2 million there, but look at what we have now. We have fantastic we have floodlight there that's the envy of anybody. We have 8 dressing rooms now in the place. We have an excellent referees facility now on the old grounds and also on the new grounds. We have a medical centre there. We have a fantastic, you'll enjoy this, Tom. There's a lovely press room there just overlooking the whole, the two fields, and I think it'll really go down well. We've put in the lift for the disabled, we have meeting rooms there. We have a really fantastic facility, and Michael McMenamin is supposed to give us the ultimate accolade when he was here, when he was the development officer, when he told me that it was probably the best he'd ever come across in the country, not just in Donegal or in Dublin or anywhere else. It was a fantastic development. So
Stephen,
we're very proud of it.
Unfortunately, I have to stop you there. We'll talk about that development again, because I know you have a big opening planned. That's it from the GA programme. My thanks to Stephen McCall, my thanks to Pascal McConnell, and my thanks also to Michael McGeehan. Until next week, Slán agus Beannacht.